choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game. I want you to be better educated about your money. I want you to live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello. My name is Stephen Briggs. I am chairperson and CEO of Briggs Financial Incorporated. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 154, Foundational Attitude. Before we get into this, I just want to thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe, to follow, to share this thing, wherever you might be. Like I said, episode 154, so if this is your first time listening, welcome. Make sure to catch all 153 episodes on your favorite, you know, wherever your favorite podcast is, or on the Briggs Financial website at BriggsWealth.com. With that, let's dive right into Foundational Attitude. So recently, we have started renovation on our house, namely our kitchen, but basically the entirety of the first floor is getting a fresh up. We're stripping and sanding the floors and restaining them. We've got a new exterior slider for the to go out to the deck, and we're doing a complete gutting of the kitchen. This kitchen's over 30 years old. It's had some interesting choices made. And so we're gutting it. We're gutting it entirely, and it's going to be a couple-month process here of building things back in. We're about 3 weeks in at this point into the renovation. And what we're finding is that as the cabinets and the counters and the drywall and the flooring are being removed, we have found some rather, well, shall we say, interesting choices. They laid hardwood on top of layers of linoleum, which immediately made me think of the times I would set something down on the counter only to have it shift because it wasn't quite level. It wasn't level at all. And in fact, we found areas there wasn't flooring. We found areas where there was double or triple flooring. It was quite a party down there. We found an HVAC pipe that was improperly run and covered up by a partial wall. We found a load-bearing beam in an area you wouldn't expect. We found insulation in areas where it was carelessly tucked away next to something that was an exposed electrical, which would have been a major fire hazard. So the compromises that whether made by the builder or whoever, really show themselves when you start tearing away the veneer that was once the kitchen. And I thought about this, and I think about what we do in financial planning and so on. It's very similar in that it's easy to cover up your compromises to your financials by having very luxurious things, going on luxurious trips, having incredible experiences. And I'm not poo-pooing going out and enjoying a vacation or whatever. But it's also very easy to cover these things up so long as everyone in the house is gainfully employed. Money might feel easy to earn right now, so certainly it'll be easy to earn in the future, right? We can always earn more later, so why not enjoy now to its fullest? That is, until suddenly you're laid off, and that money that was coming in is no longer the case. When the income gets stripped from the household cash flow, and it's just you with whatever you've saved up for against the challenge of not having income for an unspecified period of time, be honest with yourself as you're listening to this, would you actually be okay? There's a quote that I think of immediately. It's a Warren Buffett quote. It's when the tide comes out that you see who's been skinny dipping. Well, it's a cute thought, but what does it really mean? What it means is this. It's very easy to be out there and relaxed and free when there's lots of water, there's lots of money coming in, there's lots of liquidity and jobs, and the world's great. But are you prepared for a world that isn't so great? because periodically economic events happen, financial challenges happen. And even in a great economy, you can get laid off. That can happen. And so the question is, are you prepared or are you not prepared? Will you be okay? Are you going to be exposed in the Tide case? Are you going to have, do you have a pair of trunks on? Do you have your swimsuit on? Or are you going to be caught naked and looking pretty foolish? Would you actually be okay if for the next 6 months you were to lose your job and not have income coming in? Would you be okay? Would you? And imagine what would happen regardless of your current position. But imagine what would happen if you were not okay. What would your life look like? What would your friendships and relationships look like? What would your marriage look like? How would your spouse respond? You know, how would your family respond? How would your kids live? Your ability to interact with people you love and care about, how does that get affected when you run out of resources? My guess is that you'd feel hurt, alone, maybe ashamed, dare I say afraid of what that might be. And you'd be right to be scared. You'd be right to be scared. Frankly, that happened to people during the financial crisis, and many of those people didn't survive those circumstances. They got depressed. They had all sorts of morbidity events occur as a result of that, the actions taken from losing a job for an extended period of time. That happened. That's tough. So Briggs, I should save more money, right? That's the message, right? Not today. That's a good message, but that's not the only message. Not today. The problem with what I just described now isn't just that a number of bad behaviors resulted in a poor outcome. It's that those behaviors really feel okay to most people, all the way up to a point where they get burned really hard. There are lots of assumptions that we can conjure to deny the very real risks that hover all over all of us today. I'm a key person. I can't be let go. They'd be stupid to let me go. No one else can do my job. You're replaceable. I can easily go find another job right away, no problem. Well, tell that to the 13% last week that got laid off by Wayfair, or the 35% the week before laid off by Twitch, or the, you just go on down the headlines the last several months, Xerox laying off thousands of people, Citibank looking to lay off 40,000 people. These numbers are not going away, folks. They are going to keep on chugging. I've warned about this before in previous episodes. I've warned about the fact that we're running into a major corporate debt problem in this country. And one of the key reaction functions is for businesses to tighten down their hiring, pull away job opportunities, and lay off workers, or do the quiet layoff where when people go, they don't backfill and hire in. I think the 8.7 million jobs that are out there, whatever, I think it's a lie. I think a number of those jobs don't actually exist, and the ones that do are namely in the trades and service industries. They're not the desk jobs, the white-collar jobs that the people who are being laid off from are going. There aren't people being laid off out of fast food. There aren't people being laid off out of plenty of jobs for plumbers and electricians and all that. Trades are doing just fine. It's people that are acting, are customer service managers for an online company that get laid off. It's people that are in roles that are, maybe it's a shrinking down a sales team or, culling away some accountants that were on the upper end of the pay band. It's stuff like that. If I'm let go, my partner will still be making income, so it's just fine. You ask your partner about that, see how they feel. See how they feel 3 months or 6 months later. If you're not pulling a job in. Well, my family's wealthy, so I can just ask them for money. And that's going to send a message to them as well. And that can very much change the dynamics of that relationship. I mean, folks, these go beyond behaviors. These are core, predisposed, settled feelings about money and risk. What we call attitude. attitudes like these about your job, about the market, about your friends and family, they help inform your behaviors with respect to how you act with respect to your money. It's no surprise that when people have a flippant attitude about spending, about being able to earn whenever and wherever, their job's always going to be safe. When they have a flippant attitude about their money and risk, and something or multiple somethings bad happening, they're caught in a real bind as a result, where you can have a job loss and break an arm and, you know, have a car accident. That can all happen in a week. Are you prepared for that? And people who are flipping, you know, that sort of have this carefree attitude about it all, it results in a financial emergency you have no answer for. And the end result of that's suffering. I'll just say it, it's needless suffering. It's suffering that could have been avoided. But here's the kicker. In order to increase the chances of success, that your behaviors will be more conducive to save money, de-risk your life, and help you achieve your, you know, financial independence, in order for all these things to work out, your behaviors will need to change. You can't go out to Starbucks 5 days a week and get out and get Grubhub 3 days a week and pizza and whatever and expect to have any money left over at the end of the month. And I don't care if you're making $50,000 a year, $500,000 a year, $5 million a year. There's a reason why we start every single client. We start with cash flow and where money's being spent and saved. You know why we're doing that? Because it's just like running a business. If you're the chief financial officer, if you don't know where that money is going, then you may as well just have assumed that you've lit it on fire. I mean, it really is a matter of scale, usually, more than scope. I mean, it might be, in, you know, instead of it being a $25 splurge, it's a $250 splurge for someone making more money. But the behaviors are identical. So the kick is, regardless of what income tranche you're in, you're looking to do better with this stuff, you need to take a hard look at where your money's going. You need to take a hard look at your attitude when it comes to your work. Before you change your behaviors, you need a foundation underneath that will help support those decisions to be much more consistently aligned with your goals. Your attitudes about money and risk need to change. You need to gut out those layers of linoleum and the bad insulation and the mold and the rot in the walls, whatever else plagues you and your attitudes that you can do whatever the heck you want, whenever the heck you want, and it's just going to work out. You need to embrace attitudes about your relationship with money that will prioritize taking care of your financial health before you go spending on Starbucks. Here's some healthy attitudes. Let me give you a few. Save before you spend, not spend before you save. So when you're looking and figuring out where your money is going, before you allocate dollar one to stuff, and I get you got a rent or mortgage, yeah, you're going to have a payment. Much beyond that, save before you spend. Are you saving 15, 20% or more of your paycheck or not? I think it's really difficult to build a strong retirement if you're not getting up to that point where you're saving, you know, healthily into the double digits. Here's another healthy attitude. My emergency fund is only for real emergencies, not TikTok or Amazon ones. My emergency fund gives me permission to make long-term investments to reach long-term goals. That's true, by the way. When you have a strong amount of cash on the sidelines, that gives you more risk permission, because if something happens life-wise or multiple things happens life-wise, you're not dipping into the 401k. You're not dipping into the Roth IRA. You're not dipping into your investments, into your brokerage account, and taking on a taxable loss at that point or whatever, or locking in a gain and being required to pay taxes on it at a time when you're struggling. Your emergency fund gives you permission to make long-term investments with confidence that you're not going to have to touch those investment dollars, even in a bad situation. Which usually, when the market's down, unemployment tends to be up, and other bad things can be happening at the same time. Those are pretty, pretty correlative. Not entirely correlative, but pretty correlative. A tough economy, high unemployment, and stock market being down has happened far more often than it has not. Your emergency fund gives you permission to make long-term investments. Another healthy attitude. My career is the engine that drives my ability to save, invest, and live a better quality of life. And here's the thing. I love this statement. My career is the engine that drives my ability. So what do you do? If you think about the engine of your vehicle, do you give it an oil change or not? You go, Stephen, I drive electric. Shut up. Your vehicle, do you get maintenance done on it? Probably. Hopefully. And that's just it. It's thinking of your career the same way, that it's not on autopilot. See how well that worked for Teslas. But, you know, that you're able to, that you take care of this thing and really make sure it's well, you know, it's been well maintained. You know, that might mean working to build additional skills and taking classes. That might mean refreshing your resume and doing some professional networking periodically to make sure other people in the industry know who you are, know that you exist. Because again, you do not know when or, you know, if or when you might be out of a job. But other people knowing you, that's a really big deal. That's a difference, but that can be a difference maker between not just keeping your job, but frankly, people knowing that you're out there doing great work. That's where people might hunt you down to promote you, whether it's within the company or at another company. But you got to put in the time, and you got to invest your bandwidth toward your career to make that happen. Another healthy attitude: I should live with confidence, but informed by risk. Again, this doesn't say, I'm not saying don't take a vacation. I'm not saying don't go out and enjoy a great night. I'm just saying you make sure to take care of home base first. I should live with confidence, but informed by risk. I know bad things can happen to me, so I make sure I prepare for the things that are most likely to happen, and then I get to live my life and do my thing. I think it's a pretty reasonable balance. I think it's what a lot of people look for when they're working with us on financial planning is, one, finding that balance for them. And it is a little bit individualistic. One size does not fit all in the situation. Like the tenets of risk management do not change. But how they are implemented does from one household to the next. It's not that the fundamentals are very different from someone who makes, you know, like I said, if someone who's making $100,000 a year and someone who's making $1 million a year have very similar risks in a lot of ways. So it really comes down then to some basic risk management principles. And I will say this, the person who's making $1 million a year has a lot more ways and can probably guard against those risks in a much deeper way or a much easier way. But it doesn't change the fundamentals between the person making $1 million and the person making $100,000. It really doesn't change. It just changes what instruments and to the scale at which you can defend yourself at a time. It's easier when you make more money. I know. Shocker. So with all that said, over this week, I want you to think about some questions. I built some questions up for this to kind of prod and poke and examine your foundation. And I think these are good questions you take a pen and paper to. And you do a little bit of thinking and you do a little bit of writing. Here they are. Question one. What are my attitudes about my money? What are my attitudes about my money? Question two. Do my behaviors align with my attitudes? Question three. If my behaviors do not align, am I lying to myself about my attitudes? So that's the question, is whether, you know, that it's a chicken or the egg question. It's a, are my attitudes right and my behaviors aren't matching my attitudes? Or are my attitudes not actually my attitudes? Are the behaviors kind of the truth of the matter? And my attitudes are not as healthy or not as good as I think they are. Do my attitudes need to change? If so, how? On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, how would you rate your financial foundation today? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being highest, how would you rate your financial foundation today? What would you like your score to be in the next 6 months? What would you, if you're on that 1 to 10 and you're a 5, would you like that to be a 7 in the next 6 months? And what would you need to do that in the next 6 months? What attitude has to be a change, or what behaviors need to be changed to get your 5 to a 6 to a 7, or your 7 to an 8, or your 8 to a 9, or whatever it is? What am I going to fundamentally value differently to achieve a better result? You've been doing things the way you've been doing things up to this point. Doing something the same way and expecting a different result defies logic. It defies reason. So what are you going to fundamentally value differently to achieve a better result? Folks, building a watertight foundation for your finances requires a few things. It requires careful planning. It requires good materials. And it requires decisions that avoid compromise. By building a sound, strong foundation built on healthy attitudes about your money and risk, having a balance of your wants and goals and desires against the things that can fundamentally harm your ability to live, when you start seeing those, you know, seeing things that way and where your resources are going and being deliberate about it, you can then develop behaviors that more closely align with your attitudes, your goals, and ultimately increase your chances of living a prosperous and successful life. I want to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money is Personal. Once again, make sure to check all 153 other episodes on the Briggs Financial website, BriggsWealth.com. Make sure to like and follow us on Facebook, Instagram. We got one more tips and tricks and ideas for you on there, stories and anecdotes and so forth. To help you save money, to help you do better with your money and finances, it's tax season. We got different tax things coming up here. So if you're interested in any of that, be sure to check us out. We'd love to help you out. So with that, thank you so much. Have a great week. Be safe. Be well. And we'll catch you with a fresh episode next week. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. And check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data for making financial or investment decisions, and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice, and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. This information is not meant as a financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and/or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.